Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring.
Oh, I'm riding a high today, city limits. I'm riding a high today.
I fell into a
one of my goals was to break 90 at Hickory Heights, a very difficult golf course, and I did it yesterday.
Congratulations on all your success, Joe.
And the great Sam Deep signed my scorecard, and I'm very happy this morning. I'm riding a high, Paul. Shot an 87, and it should have been better. I missed three birdie putts that Rory would have been ashamed to miss in the clutch. I'm happy. You know how you ride the golf high for a day or so, don't you?
Well, if you got a shot an 87, that's good.
Let me ask you a social golf question, may I? And welcome to the show.
Yes,
we just started. You're not even late. I'm not even late.
We have to do those videos for.
We're the opposite of who was it? Tom Coughlin. He said if you're not 5 minutes early, you're late. I say if you're not. At least 5 minutes late, you're on time.
Well, no, I had to do. You know, we do these videos for the Post Gazette.
Yeah.
So I had to do. And the time to shoot it is actually in the mornings, before work.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I've tried to push it back so that I can shoot it from home, because I used to have to try and shoot it from here in the studio, but there were times I couldn't get in those studios. The problem is, You know, it is what it is, but then I have to fly to get here.
No, it's wonderful to see you. I mean, that's the bottom line here.
I'm happy I'm here. I'm happy I got here and was able to be here at the start.
Here's my social question for you. I'm supposed to golf with Zangrilli today.
Okay.
Dan Zangrilli, wonderful man.
100
right?
degrees out, but yes, go ahead.
Yeah, he said, do you want to grab dinner afterward? I said, of course. And then he texted back. He said, I'll check on locker and shower availability. I said, I don't need either, but thank you. And then he implied that I should shower before we go to dinner. I've never heard of that. What's happening there? You and I have been to a lot of golf courses. Nobody ever showers or cleans up before dinner. You might wash your hands.
Well, where are you playing at?
Diamond Run.
Are you eating there at Diamond Run?
I think so.
That's probably
it's a wonderful place. But you and I eat, although you're supposed to go from the golf round to eat. I'm not taking a shower anywhere.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't.
Have you ever done that? Yeah, I'll be up to meet you for dinner in a half hour. I'm going to go take a shower at a golf club. I'm not doing that.
One time I did it. I'll tell you when I did it. Remember we had the 27-hour marathon?
Yes.
Like a couple weeks ago. And then
I'll never forget it.
Right. And then I had to go straight from there and play three rounds of golf at Edgewood.
Yes.
Right? So basically I went from Wednesday, I guess morning was when I showered.
Right.
Thursday we had to be here at 6 a.m. And if you remember, I was sick that morning. So when I got up, I just drove down here to be here at 6 a.m. And then I just laid in my car for a while, so I didn't get a chance to shower then.
Remember,
they were like looking at me, are you going to get out of your car? I'm like, I would like to if I'm not going to throw up. And then, you know, did a bunch of Pepto-Bismol and all that stuff. And by about 10:30, I felt better. But my point is,
have they given you your MVP award for that thing yet? That 2-day event we had? You were unbelievable. From cleaning up the place to the cigars and vodka to your appearances. I think you logged more hours on the air than anybody. You were a miracle worker.
Well,
you were Barry Bonds in his prime.
Well, I appreciate that. But here was what happened then. So then I go straight from that. I'm there all day, all night. Of course, we didn't shower there.
Right.
Now we're into Friday. Then I played three matches of golf on Friday.
which I don't know how you did.
So at the end of the day, I was like, I really, really just need a shower. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, that's those are extenuating circumstances.
So I took a shower, and then I dressed, and then I went and ate dinner. You know what I mean? And then what's interesting is I then went to, because we were playing the next day out there as well.
Right.
I then went and I stayed out there, you know, in Monroeville. And I literally am glad I showered at the golf course, because when I walked in the door, it was like the tree, you know, timber, boom, out cold. I was so tired. It hit the wall.
You put in 3 days without sleep.
It was ridiculous.
You had your own marathon happening. City Limits, I need a favor from you. I need to know Mitch Keller's base salary and where it compares to all other pitchers in baseball. Perhaps you could put IT. He's not an intern for nothing onto that project, if you would. Because for the life of me, I don't know why I can't find it. I thought it was around $15 million a year. Is it not, Paul? How much is Mitch Keller making?
No, he's making...
I thought it was. We'll have IT do that.
I got it right here.
15 and a half a year.
15 and a half a year. So why doesn't he appear in this listing on this stupid
Because this year he's still under his old contract, so he's only making 5.8.
Oh, that's a good point.
Next year he'll make 15. The year after that he'll make 16.9. 2027 he'll make 18, which means he's probably going to get traded after 2026.
Thank you. May you crack open a six-pack, Limits. I'm assuming you and IT are both doing well.
Doing very well. Thank you.
Your t-shirt game, very good again. What do you got today?
Thank you. Doran thought otherwise, and you thought otherwise, I thought at first.
Wait, I haven't even seen your t-shirt.
You have seen what my t-shirt.
It?
You
no,
criticized and ridiculed me for
oh,
it.
Oh, my God. It's Penn State football shirt. Were you aware that this guy right here is going to Penn State graduate school right now online? He didn't even tell anybody.
I did not know that. What are you studying?
Strategic communications. It can allow me to do something like you, Joe, at some point and teach at a college level as like a professor for a class or two.
What does the word strategic mean in this instance? Strategic communication.
It's like a combination of PR, advertising, some journalism also mixed in. A lot of different elements in that regard.
I'm very proud of you, Limits.
I'm very proud of you.
You're proud
as well.
Of him, Paul?
Very. Very much proud of him. He's going to be a superstar someday.
I sure hope so.
Crack that again, please. Thank you. All right, Paul, here we go. It's Thursday. I actually thought it was Wednesday. Of course, yesterday I thought it was Tuesday, which makes sense in the end. So let's go with a Thursday morning six-pack. And let's start with this. Isn't sports a lot easier when the guys who are making the big money on your team carry your team? Isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
Yeah.
That was the case yesterday. With the two big contracts on this team, Mitch Keller and Brian Reynolds seizing the day. Keller has been incredible. He's found a new level. And Reynolds wins it with a homer. That's what they're paid to do.
Keller this season is the 80th highest played pitcher in all of baseball, starting pitcher.
And even when his contract kicks in, Paul, he's not even going to be in the top 35.
Yeah.
This makes Ben Cherington look great, that deal. And then Reynolds has really started to hit, which they desperately need from him. The first $100 million man in franchise history. That's what you pay him for, is moments like that. A great pitching duel. So the moral of the story to me, Paul, is this is why we sign these guys, right?
Right. Exactly. Well, I'm doing this right now.
Yes.
If you look at this right now, what's Martin Perez making? So he's actually, Martin Perez is the highest paid starter. He makes $8 million.
Yeah.
I'm lying. Marco Gonzalez makes 12?
Yeah, but a lot of that's being covered by Atlanta in the trade that they made with Seattle.
Okay.
And the Pirates are only paying, I think, $3 million.
Yeah, they're paying three. So you got $11 million there. The three young guys are all $750,000. So that's what? 2.1 whatever, $2.2 million for those three guys. So that's $13 million. And then you have Keller at six. That's $19 million.
Yeah, you're not spending that's a whole lot on your pitching staff.
That's what your pitching staff is costing you, $19 million. Your entire pitching staff. How many pitchers, you have that list up there still? How many pitchers make more than $19
million? A lot.
I bet you what?
I don't have the list up anymore, but a lot. But the moral of that story is, first, that Keller's been incredible. Month of May, he had a 1.3 ERA. Month of June, a 1.8 ERA. And I've never seen him look better than he did yesterday. He had a five-pitch arsenal, which our friend Michael McHenry broke down after the game. Five pitches that you have mastery of? Is this the real Mitch Keller? Is this the guy we're going to see, Paul?
He was really good. I mean, yeah, I don't see why not. When he's throwing like that, and he can throw like that. Here we go. You ready for this, Joe?
Yeah.
We said $19 million for basically the entire, right? Joe Musgrove is making $20 million. He's tied for 20th. Charlie Morton is making $20
million. Man, I wish they had Charlie Morton.
Eduardo Rodriguez is making $20 million. There's three guys. Edwin Diaz, $20 million. But there's basically 23 pitchers that are making more than the entire Pirates pitching payroll. Starting pitching payroll.
Yeah, yeah. What meaning do you make of that?
I'm just saying they have a bargain.
They're getting bang for their buck
because
here.
They're getting a lot of bang for their buck.
Well, a couple of them are very young guys too, which you don't pay yet.
Absolutely, but my point is that's why to your other point all the time, you got to take advantage of it now.
Yes,
you have. It's almost like the Steelers with their quarterbacks.
Exactly like that. Yeah, you're not. But they are paying two guys, and those are the guys who won you a great baseball game yesterday.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like you have the ability because you're not paying your pitching, because your pitchers on your payroll are in general, those guys are going to make a lot of money. The best pitchers you have, like Skeens, at some point is probably going to be a $40 million guy. You know, Jones is probably going to be a $30 million guy if they continue to do what they're doing. Pirates can't. They'll never have those guys at that level, but they can have them for the next 5 or 6 years. And so if you have them at a really cost-controlled, very bargain basement price, and go get other guys that to take advantage of it and try and win.
Crack another one, Limits, please. All right, let's hone back in on Keller. Limits, are you? Here's the one thing that Keller, even when he was struggling early this season, has avoided. His season was in some ways detonated last year by the 7 and 8 run outings. He had multiple of those. To me, if you're a star, if you're an ace, if you're a number one guy, however you want to define it, and there's only a handful of real aces. If you're a number one pitcher, you get one of those a year, maybe two. He had multiple, and it killed his numbers, and in many ways it killed the team because you can't really win those games. This year, even when he was struggling early in the year, he hasn't had one performance where he's given up more than 4 earned runs, and he's turned his early struggles into absolute dominance. Are you convinced, City Limits, that Keller is going to establish himself this year as a true number one? That this is the year he raises it to another level.
I'm getting very close to thinking that, yes, he's going to be the number one guy. I mean, Paul Skeens is obviously, when he's in your rotation, the number one pitcher on your team, and nobody else is going to be able to surpass that. But when Keller, with an ERA of 5 in April, and maybe it's like Brian Reynolds, you start off slow and then you heat up as the summer does as well with the warm weather, 1.30 ERA in May and 1.80 in June. And it's kind of like you said with the big innings, but also he's not giving up a lot of home runs and he's not walking people. The control is so much better for Keller over the last 2 months, and that's a big part of being a number one and finding timely outs and going deep into games. I don't know what the number is. I think it's over 50 starts in a row that Keller has made. It's second in Pirate history behind A.J. Burnett from 12 to 13 in terms of starts that Keller has made going 5 innings or more.
Yeah.
It's over 50.
And that's what a number one starting pitcher does in your rotation.
Well, he has to have an ERA. If you're going to be a real number one, Paul, it's got to be in the low threes at worst. And right now, he's 8-4 with a 3.11 ERA, 85 strikeouts and 24 walks. He's taken on a new look, right?
Yeah.
And you're convinced it's going to last? I don't know that he's going to be a 1 ERA guy.
No, I think...
But I think a 3 or a little below?
I think he'll be right about where he's at, 3.1 ERA guy. I mean, the thing about him, is if you look, his whip is good, but it's not great. It's good, you know, 1.2, but that's not, like, great, like, super dominant stuff. I've said it, and I'll say it again. I think he's a really good number 2.
See, that's where I'm going to jump in and disagree. I think things are beginning to change for him. I think this is, you mentioned Charlie Morton, which is an interesting comparison earlier, and I've said this many times, that Keller has so much in his arsenal that I think sometimes for a guy this talented, it can be troublesome to try and harness it. I think he's harnessing it. So right. I actually think he's a legit number one, or
to,
will be.
I have to see him do it for a whole season.
That's fair.
Because he's a guy that, you know, he'll get in these ruts where he gets out of line for like 4 or 5 starts in a row, where he, you know, and then he finds it again. And I have to see him do it consistently for a whole entire season. But the one number I do look at is his whip, and you know. Paul Skeens has the whip of a dominant pitcher. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I guess it's not fair to, you know, to, but we're talking about being like a legitimate dominant number one. You know?
Yeah. That's what a I'm legit saying. Number one.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm looking at with Keller. And I think when you go into a start like that and you can unleash a 5-pitch arsenal on a team like that, and punctuate it with 95 on the black when you need to, man, I'm not seeing why this would go south at this point.
No.
In any way. Like I said, he's eliminated these blow-up 8-run starts that wreck your numbers and really prevent you from being a true number one, I think, if you have too many of those in a season. And that's not happening. So let's go to the next one here. The other guy. Limits, please. Brian Reynolds is on En Fuego right now, Paul.
Yes.
And that home run yesterday, he absolutely crushed. By the way, that's the type of baseball game I like. That was an epic pitching duel.
Oh, absolutely. The kid from Cincinnati was fun to watch, too.
That was some great stuff. How about Rowdy hitting that ball off the wall and walking to second base? Did you like that?
Oh, he pimped that thing right out of the box.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
He just looked at it and walked.
And then what was he doing?
I don't know. I don't know what he was doing. He's growing on me, though. I'm almost not mad at him. It was tremendous.
Yeah,
he almost got thrown out at second.
I know. It should have been a triple. But like Shelton said after the game, I'm not sure. Does Rowdy have a triple? Let me look. But go ahead and talk, Paul.
What I was saying was, what was he thinking?
It was gone.
He thought he hit a home run. I get it, but come on, man.
He acted like he hit it 450 feet.
Right.
I think he did. He almost did. In center, that part of the ballpark, you can practically hit it that far. Does this dude have a triple in his entire career?
I think it's funny, like you said, I think it's pretty funny that he...
Yes, he has 3.
Yeah. And I think that's...
He has 3.
But he, as soon as he hit it,
last year.
As soon as he hit it, he pimped it, like, you know what I mean?
I thought it was tremendous. Who's here? Oh, Crowley's walking in with a bobblehead. What are you doing? He left his keys.
He forgot his keys.
Get on the microphone. You don't get to walk in and walk out without talking. What's in your hands?
I got a water bottle from Guardian Protection. They're sponsoring our show in the morning.
Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you. They're probably very excited that you have invited me onto the microphone here.
Right, exactly.
I have a rental car now.
Why?
And my car got hit, and these keys are so bulky that my pants fall down when I've got the keys in there. So I took them out and I put them over there and I forgot them.
It's wonderful to see you. Paul misses you.
I miss Paul.
Yes.
I listened to a very large, long stretch of your show yesterday. A very long stretch.
Did you like it?
I like it every time.
Yeah.
Does Doran think now, or is this a fact, that he invented the modern day Wildcat? What do you think of this, Paul?
Did you hear about this? He thinks he invented the Wildcat.
Why?
He said they were running it in 04 in high school, and that Houston Nutt came and watched them do it at practice. And then when Houston Nutt was at Arkansas with, who was it, McFadden and Felix Jones, I want to say, and Peyton Hillis, that they, because they saw them do it at West Day, that they did it in Arkansas.
Paul?
Well, you know what? There was somebody else. There was another team that did it before that.
West Day.
But isn't the Wildcat, like, isn't it like centuries old practically?
Wasn't I don't know if in that.
He's talking modern day Wildcat.
Yes.
Right.
I'll buy it for now. Here Paul, we go.
I don't know why he'd lie.
No, I'm sure he believes he's telling. I just don't know if it's actually
true. The Wall
true.
Street Journal credited Hugh Wyatt, a longtime coach in the Pacific Northwest, with naming the offense the Wildcat.
What year was that?
Alabama's David Palmer was one of the first.
He didn't hear in, that question.
No, yeah, but here, 1998, but that was the article. I'm sorry, that article was published in 1998. When was Doran born?
Well, he's 35. Don't make me do math, Paul.
So
wait 1987.
How do we define the Wildcat? You
Hang
snap
on.
It to the. So
this
to
is
a running
this
back?
Is what yeah. I'm telling you.
Who can run and
Alabama's
throw?
David Palmer was the first Wildcat.
When?
Quarterback in 1993 when Doran was five.
But what differentiates the Wildcat from simply snapping to a dual option quarterback?
Well, you're snapping it to a quarterback, but also you're snapping it to a running back at times.
Well, Doran said he threw five passes thereabouts right. in high school.
Right.
So he and he played a they did it
so
a
it's
ton.
A direct snap to your running
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that harkens back to the beginnings of the sport, to Grantland Rice and such. And
yes, Pop Warner came up in a Google yeah. search.
Ron did the first one-on-one with Pop
yeah,
Warner.
Yeah, so they it's the Wildcat and then Auburn's Gus Malzahn.
He's at UCF now.
Right.
Is he?
Yeah, not that that's important, yeah. but he is.
I'm going to go with that Doran popularized the modern-day Wildcat.
Well, it really became big at Arkansas in 07. Like, it came back. And so maybe it wouldn't have come back without Doran then. Can we at least land on that?
Yes, we can.
They were talking about, no.
And then Ronnie Brown and they ran it with the Dolphins in 08 with Cadillac Williams.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It came back.
No.
And the Steelers ran it with Jalen Samuels.
Kansas State was doing it in 97, 98.
Le'Veon Bell scored a touchdown against San Diego. Wildcat.
Meyer,
Take
Urban
it to
Meyer. The mattresses, Tomlin said. Remember? Or what was the phrase from
I don't
the
remember.
Sopranos or something?
Urban Meyer was doing it in Utah.
That was after. No, it wasn't. That was 03.
That's because he copied Doran.
No, it's not. Because it says here Urban Meyer was copying Bill Snyder at Kansas State.
Doran thought you might be an ally, actually, in this, Paul, because you covered him at West Day.
That doesn't appear to be the case.
I did, but I'm just saying. Here we go. Wait. The Wildcat formation made an appearance in 1998 when the Vikings offensive coordinator Brian Billick.
Oh.
How about that? 98 when Doran was 9.
We have Billick's number, City Limits. Get him on the line today if you could.
It's amazing. Okay. Brian Billick must have went to the West Allegheny Midget League.
Limits. Can you get Brian Billick on the line?
I confirmed. Okay. Let me see if I have. I have his number.
But you did it with a hand gesture, which
Brian
doesn't
Billick
work on the radio.
In 1998.
See, now I've looked into the future, and if you guys get Brian Billick on, this is our show tomorrow. It's going to be Doran what? And me v. Brian Billick.
In the 1998 NFC Championship game, Tim Dwight took the direct snap.
But what did they call it?
The Wildcat. The Wildcat formation made it
appear. Wait a second. I even think the Bills did that with Kenneth Davis from time to time.
The Wild Bill.
If you snap to a running back on a short yardage play.
Well, it's the Wildcat
play.
Formation, yes.
Yeah.
What were you guys talking about before?
That I don't
doesn't
know.
Matter.
Pitcher's duels?
Yeah.
We were talking about baseball.
Brian, how your star, sometimes your highly paid stars, that's why you pay them money, is to win
we
games like they both did yesterday.
Yeah, we basically were filibustering like we...
Go to the mattresses. That's the line Tomlin used when last play Le'Veon Bell, you win or lose the game. That
Can
was
I ask
tremendous.
You a question about Brian Reynolds, though, while I'm here?
Please.
I'm very entertained by your show, and now I get to participate. This is a great thrill. So Brian Reynolds, let's say rest of the year, you know, let's say he finishes the season with an 820 OPS or whatever, which is good, especially in like adjusted for now.
Yeah.
Did he have a good year? if you miss the playoffs by a couple of games, even if his numbers at the end of the year wind up looking good? I say no, because his performance in the first 2 months of the season may have cost them.
No, that's fair. Even with Rowdy, I'm like, even if this guy hits 20 home runs, that doesn't make up necessarily for the fact he helped, not to bury them, but to put them in a bad position. But if Reynolds finishes over 800 OPS, is he even in the top 25 highest paid outfielders limits? Can you look that one up?
Yes.
Thank you. He seems annoyed today, Paul. What's happening
with
Limits?
I'm in the middle of texting Brian Billick.
Oh.
That's why I was a little distracted.
So, tell him we said hello.
So,
I'm telling him.
No, it's been the whole show. Have you been drinking again?
No.
That night?
The hell?
Again? No.
Right.
Anyway.
This guy. What's happening, Paul?
This guy. You know what I mean? But just back here. I'm trying to figure this out here.
Wildcat?
We don't have time for you.
Here we go. His OPS isn't 800. That's what I was trying to find out.
No, it's 785.
It's 795.
Oh. Well, it was, and then they took a hit away from him. Did you see that?
Why'd they take a hit away from him?
Oh, this was a whole scandal earlier on our show.
Why is it so hot in here? I'm sweating. It's hot enough outside.
73, we keep it.
He's throwing stuff. So, here's the thing, though. Ryan Reynolds is... You know, Ryan Reynolds is making, what is he making? Whatever the hell he's making.
He's not in the top 25.
Okay, good.
Of outfielders.
It's good that he's not in the top 25 because his batting average among hitters in major in the National League is 36th.
But among outfielders, it's top 10.
Yeah, I only care about run production. And it's still early enough for me where if he takes off and parlays this hitting streak into, I don't expect 900 OPS and 30 homers. He's not a superstar, but I'll take 25
home runs.
Sure.
Okay. So
and plus 800 OPS,
more.
Yes.
He's top five in homers, RBI, slugging percentage, on-base percentage, batting average in the National League among outfielders.
I think he's earning his money right now. I do, because his money isn't superstar money. I'm okay with it.
You don't grade on a curve? Pirate curve?
What do you mean?
For them, $100 million is like...
I don't grade on a pirate curve.
Okay, fair enough.
The what do you think about this?
are
you like me...
Trying to leave?
No. Yeah, yes. All three of us are. City Limits, finish. Are you like me? You're tired of hearing about Braxton Ashcraft?
No, because I want to hear... I want to
hear that name.
I want to hear Braxton Ashcraft... is a Met, or he's a Padre.
Yeah, trade him.
Yes, trade him. I want to hear more about him. I want to hear that they shipped him out. No offense to him.
What do you mean tired of hearing about him?
I'm just saying he's the new guy that every person that wants to act like they have some inside information on the Pirates has to say, oh, I got this Braxton Ashcraft. Look what he did, four scoreless innings, blah, blah, blah. Shut up.
I read a thing other day that somebody suggested the Steelers get Dak Prescott.
That was me.
Year. What?
Yeah.
We have.
Open a six pack. We got to talk about this.
Wait.
Hold on. Oh, you went too soon.
That's all right. I'm going to chug that one real
That'll
quick
happen.
And then we'll go to the next one. My point about this is there's so many people that follow the Pirates and call it, they're so enamored with everybody that's not on the Pirates roster.
Look at this.
You know?
Dak Prescott versus Patrick Mahomes. ESPN. Their obsession with Dak Prescott is so far beyond embarrassing that
right,
I don't even know what to say about it. Having said that,
crack it open.
Yeah. I like him. I like him. Tell us what you said and what your response has been.
The response has been unkind because Dorn is vehemently against it because he's won nothing of substance in his entire career. But think about the options you're going to have. It's either Russ Wilson, whatever he does this year, Justin Fields, whatever he does this year, or... That's the big fish next year, Dak Prescott, or you go into the draft. They're not going to be a top 10 picking team.
Is he going to be available?
He has, in his contract, he can't be franchise tagged. So he is going to be a free agent at the end of the year.
If they don't sign him.
If they don't sign him. At this point, it looks like they won't. I don't know that they have the same policy that the Steelers do. I'm sure if they wanted to get it done in season, they would. But
how much are we looking at? $50 million a year?
How much would you pay him?
60.
Well, the other guys are getting 55. I think Burrow is 55 average annual value.
Paul, would you do that?
Again.
I like him. I do like him.
Here's the issue you have, okay? The issue that you have is, if you're the Cowboys, you have to sign him. So I don't think that I don't think he's going to become a free agent in the sense that they're going to let him go. It's the same thing with Trevor Lawrence.
If he doesn't win a playoff game this year, they're going to run him right out of town.
Yeah, but my point is, again, it's the same thing with Trevor Lawrence. You look at Trevor Lawrence. Has he been a $275 million guy to this point in his career? Probably not. But if you're Jacksonville, you've got to sign him.
I know, but it never got to this point with Trevor Lawrence.
If Dak says, if I'm Dak, even if I want to be a Cowboy, I'm not signing with him now. What's the worst that happens? I shatter my leg. Well, guess what? That happened to Kirk Cousins, and he's making bank.
Right.
You bet on yourself. Even if you want to be a Cowboy, make him get into a bidding war.
Forget about everything else. Do you like Dak Prescott?
I think he's a good quarterback. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I think if the Steelers brought him here, and he was their guy for the next 7 to 10 years, or seven, eight years, yeah, I'd be okay with that. He's good. But my point is, I'd be shocked if Dallas lets him go. Now, he might not want to play there anymore. He might have had enough.
Well, is the ball in his court? You make it sound like it is. If they can't franchise him.
It is. But again, if you think about how much they're going to make or how much they're going to pay, they know what they're going to have to pay him.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If he goes on the open market, though, I mean, think about what Kirk Cousins got.
Yeah.
Coming off a blown out leg.
$60 million. It wasn't that long ago, and that was team's entire payroll.
We were talking about this earlier with the whole potential quarterback salary cap and all that. Tom Pelissero brought it up that in 08, Peyton Manning was the highest paid quarterback. He made $19 million, which was 16% of the cap. Now Burrow's going to make $52 million as the most in his deal, which for this year's cap would be 20% of the cap. So it really, that hasn't gone up all that much.
Right. Well, thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
You're a philanthropist.
You guys are wonderful people.
Spiritual guru. You're a patriot. You're a professional. You're an inspiration to City Limits. You're all of that and more. Thank you.
Well, but again, this thing with the Wildcat, we've thoroughly debunked it. So you can, tomorrow, we've given you all the evidence that you need.
Any luck on Billick? Did he text you back?
Have not heard back yet. Mm. I asked him to come on at 12:30.
Did you tell him
optimistic.
Why?
He's addicted to golf now.
I did,
so
about the Wildcat.
He's definitely on a course. But yeah. Oh, you told him why?
Yes, I did.
He's a very friendly man. I think he may get back to you either way.
He loved talking to Ron, I remember.
Yeah, him and Ron hit it off big.
Did Ron do the thing where he'd be like, ha? He would start the interview and make sure that he knew that he was there?
Yeah.
And he was good with that,
right,
Ron.
Of course. Yeah, I think guys. Brian liked that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never liked Brian Billick.
I did because he was entertaining. I used to go to Westminster to cover their training camp, and the guy was wired up to, you know, 1,000. Now he's the most relaxed guy in the world. But then, man, he was, if you touched him, you'd probably burn your finger. You know what I mean? And he was funny and sarcastic and biting. Very unlikable. But also, if you covered him, it was pure entertainment. It was it's like Boeheim.
Yes.
These guys don't exist anymore, hardly.
Right.
You know?
It was tremendous. Like, I remember the one where he basically, they were angry because, I don't know, he was like really excited about a touchdown. I forget what, and in the post game, he's like, you don't go quietly into someone's house. Or
oh, that was Tennessee.
Yeah, whatever.
Into the lion's den.
Into the lion's den.
You don't tiptoe into the lion's den.
And everyone got all worked up. I thought that was actually pretty good.
And by the way, let's have one more while Crowley's still here.
Yep.
It's only 10:37.
He drinks more.
How about Patrick Queen? Can you become a legend before you've ever played a game? Are you aware of this, Paul, that Marlon Humphrey the other day basically said, you're going to be sorry you signed in Pittsburgh. Steelers Depot puts up a headline, grass might not be greener in Pittsburgh for Queen, Humphrey says. His response was a 19-second silent movie that Charlie Chaplin would have loved. 19 seconds of Patrick Queen watering a lawn and drinking a beer out of a wine glass. This guy's a legend.
I have it up right now. It's incredible.
Oh, it's unbelievable, the response.
I mean, I think I'd rather play next to Roquan Smith. I mean, I'd rather get the paycheck, but things would be easier next to that guy.
I'll say this, and I mean this in 100% all sincerity, about a month ago, I went to Baltimore. I was in Baltimore. I went to Camden Yards for a baseball game. Baltimore is such a dump right now. I would want nothing to do with living there. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. It was honestly eye-opening. It was like walking around the Night of the Living Dead. And I said, I got to get the hell out of here. And I'm not someone that cares about, you know what I mean? You know me.
You'll find a good time.
I'm like, what's his name? Pechanga. Did you ever see Carlito's Way? Pechanga. I'll take to the streets with any of these, you know. I mean, that's me. I don't care. But I'll tell you what.
I feel like you know covered up a big-time curse word.
Exactly,
there.
It did. But I'm just saying, my point is, that stuff usually doesn't bother me, you know?
You know what I do like, though, about that? And I don't want to take too much
it's
of your guys'
time.
It's
spicing up Ravens Steelers yes! again.
Let's go!
It is, but it is. But I'm telling you, if you asked me, he's made a good move just from getting the hell out of Baltimore.
Yeah.
I mean, even like the Inner Harbor, where it's supposed to be like the touristy place, was like a circus.
Thank
I was like,
you,
what
Adam.
Is going on?
Thank you, friends.
Hey.
I'm not going to pass along the message
Wait,
to Dory.
Hold up. You got to stay on here for 1 second.
What happened
and,
now?
And commit to the fact that tomorrow you're going to recite what we said about the Wildcats.
I will do that, yeah.
Yeah. That should be good.
Because
I'm more scared of Paul right now than I am of Doran because he's not here. Tomorrow we'll see what happens.
I'm just saying, you know, there's no reason to be afraid. I'm just saying,
It's off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding.
Wait. To his point, Doran did run the Wildcat when he was at West Allegheny.
He did, and ran it well.
He was very well. I mean, he was very good.
Yeah. Here's a rundown of today's show. More of this, whatever this might be. And
it's 10:40, Joe.
Who else do we have? Who else do we have, Limits?
John Parado at
John
noon.
John Parado.
Which is more like 12:15.
Never shy with a pirate opinion. Yeah, we'll go with him. And Jeff Hathorne.
1 o'clock.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Block. What a song, huh? Even though nobody knows it.
No, I have no idea until you introduced me to it.
This is unbelievable, City Limits. We're watching Steelers-Cowboys the first time they met in the Super Bowl. And a lot of times these games from the 70s are kind of grainy. This one is clear as day on NFL Network. And look at it. Look at that, Paul. Look at how clear the screen is.
Is this the 21-17 or is this the 35?
21-17, and I can't take my eyes off it. I mean, there's Lambert and Ham. They just tackled Dennison together for the Cowboy. This was the greatest football I've ever seen in my life of watching football.
What, this game?
Not this game. Steelers-Cowboys, both Super Bowls. Everywhere you look on every single play,
I know,
there's an all-time great play.
I know this will anger the people out there who were angry yesterday because they said it was lazy radio to do Mount Rushmore. Even though we did it for, 5 minutes, 10 minutes at the most? Rank the Steelers, what do they have, six? Eight. So they lost two, right? So the eight Super Bowls, rank them in terms of the games.
Oh, like, man.
What was the best game? The Cardinals game, right?
Yeah, that was the best game.
That was probably the best game. Although
the best matchup in NFL history in terms of star power and greatness was the second Steelers-Cowboys
yes.
Super Bowl, where everybody from the GMs to the owners to the coaches
right.
to half of both teams. But this one's great too, Paul. I mean, this is
so
every play... Somebody, some Hall of Famer is involved.
This is the Jackie Smith game, or is it the second one?
Jackie Smith was the second one. This was the one where the Cowboys are winning right now.
Right.
and they're really beating up the Steelers physically. But it's going to change. I can't remember if there's a block punt. It's really going to change when Terry Bradshaw starts to deliver the deep ball. And in my opinion, he's the greatest clutch deep ball passer in NFL history.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it was another great game, though? The Steelers lost it, but the other Cowboy game.
That was a great game.
2005 or whatever year. Or
Steelers-Rams was a great game. Yeah.
So I would rank them, because I've actually thought about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Packers. We forgot about Packers.
The Packers game, I thought that. So let me give you my list, then you give me here, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I think the best game of them all was the Cardinals game, for obvious reasons.
Yep.
I thought the second best game was the Rams game where the Steelers came back and won that game.
Love that game.
I thought the third best game was 95, the Cowboys, you know, the Neil O'Donnell interception, because the Steelers fought back and were right in that game. They had a chance to win. Then I would rank the second of the two Cowboys games.
Yeah.
Then the third of the first of the two Cowboys games. And then the two worst games. Well, then after that, I have the Seattle game, which I thought it was an okay game, but it was. But I thought I have the Seattle game behind the Green Bay game. But I thought the worst game was obviously the Minnesota Vikings game. That was probably the worst game.
Yeah.
It was 2-0 at halftime.
I know, but there was an intrigue in that for me. Like the Pirates game yesterday. So that's your list?
Yeah, so my question is, do you think the Seattle game was better than the Green Bay game, or vice versa?
I'll give you my list.
Go ahead.
And speaking of that Minnesota game, kind of like the Pirates game, I'm old school in that I love a pitching duel, and I'm old school in that I love to watch punishing defense in the NFL. So I kind of like that Vikings game. But you're right, obviously not a great football game, but an all-time crushing defensive performance against a really talented offense. The best game was the Cardinals, again, like you said, for obvious reasons. The second best game was Steelers-Rams. This game was great. This game right here was great, with Bradshaw delivering that touchdown to Lynn Swann, on which he got concussed. He threw the ball like 65 yards in the air, right to the end zone in stride.
Yeah. One where he like fell over, like slipped over the top of a car or something?
I don't remember.
Where he runs out of the back of the end zone and there's and he tries to jump over.
I can't remember. But this was the Lynn Swann game, right? Where he makes all these unbelievable catches. And then I'll just go to the worst. I actually enjoyed the Green Bay Super Bowl. I guess partly because I was at the game, but it was also a really entertaining game in the end. Ben had the ball with 2 minutes left. You had all kinds of crap happening in the second half of that game. The worst game by far for me was the Seattle game. That's one of the worst Super Bowls ever played. It was horrific.
Yeah.
You know?
The Seattle game where the best pass was thrown by a receiver.
Yeah, exactly. That was just a boring, for the rest of the country, I remember the reviews on that one. Obviously, huge for Bill Cowher. That's a career maker for Cowher, but just, you know, the nation saw it and was bored, and I don't blame him. Paul, can we get back to the six-pack? I'm going to keep watching this football game.
Yes, we can.
And we're going to get to a bunch of different topics. Things happening with the Penguins, at least their rival teams in their division and conference, are making some big moves. Will they? We'll talk about that. You won't believe what the Falcons are doing with their Hall of Fame. And then we get back to Brandon Ayuk and a couple of things happening. And eventually in the show today, Paul, we're going to do a complete AFC North breakdown here in light of Hard Knocks going all in on the Steelers division, which might be the best division in football. I'm going to have myself, you, and City Limits break down things such as rank the quarterbacks, rank the coaches, which single player in the entire division is under the most pressure this season, that type of thing. We'll do that later in the show. We're going to dive into a mailbag. We have all kinds of things happening here. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township. celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Your chance to win, I believe it was a Paul Skeens rookie card. And the General Patton over there said it's a very, very valuable card. So that's your chance to win by going over to our website. Up next, we will take a look, or we'll finish up our six-pack, I should say, because there are some very interesting things to talk about. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com, high 92 today. Now, my friend who's a golfer talking about Zangrilli wanting me to arrive at dinner all clean. My friend Andy says, as a guest at a country club, it is appropriate for you to take a shower and not take your sweaty ass up to the dining room. Paul, this is the first time in 3.5 years of golfing that I've heard of this. The members that sometimes invite me.
Yeah.
We all go up to dinner.
Exactly.
Sweaty from the round.
They do.
This is new to me.
Well, my thing is, I don't understand.
What am I supposed to bring? A suitcase? A change of clothes? Do I have to change back into a better set of clothes?
Yes, but I'll tell you the other thing is, Joe, when you get off the golf course, you want to eat and then get in your car and go home.
Yeah.
Why are you?
That's where I'll take my shower.
If you shower and everything else, you're adding like another 40 minutes to an already long day.
I've never even heard of this. This is the first I've heard of it. When Zangrilli wondered if I needed a shower and a locker, I said, no, thank you. I don't need either. And now this has become an issue. What is happening here, Limits?
I'm as confused as you are.
I've golfed at Sewickley Heights. There was never a thought of this.
Yeah, I'd never.
My friend Dan and another friend Bob. Listeners, we go, we play around, then we go up to the bar and get something to eat.
I'm sure club members probably do that, but they're
some
more established.
Most of them probably go up and eat.
Right.
I don't feel like I'm breaking some sort of protocol.
I
mean, if somebody tells me, hey, I'm inviting you to the club and you have to go take a shower before you come up for dinner, of course I would do it. But this is jarring me. I never considered this.
I only see it as a member preference thing. Like, if you're a member there and you're there all the time and you feel comfortable with it, sure, but it shouldn't be an obligation for anyone else.
Very well stated.
I just think, honestly, when you go into that dining room, most of the dudes will be sitting there in whatever they golfed in.
I always thought 100%.
Not showered. There are some that like to try and take a shower. But my point is, one of my biggest issues with golf and why I haven't been able to do it nearly as much the last two years as I did the two or three years prior to that is the time involved.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would like to eat dinner, you know, I'd like to sit down, but if I'm going to have to shower and do all this other stuff and it's another 30, 35, 40 minutes, and then we're going to have a little cocktail hour, and then I don't have that kind of time. I just don't. You know what I mean? How about we get off the course, we go, we eat, like we did Saturday. It was perfect.
It was perfect.
We got off the
course. Nobody thought of showering, did they? We all went and ate.
We got off the course, we went upstairs, we sat down, we ate. No one was in a rush because, you know, it was fine. And then we got up and left.
I'm going to have to consider this. I don't know. And Zangrilli hasn't replied to me. Is this more than just like a protocol? Does he have some sort of fetish here where he won't eat dinner with somebody who he deems to be not clean? What is happening?
He's scoffing at you not taking a shower.
This is a Seinfeld episode all of a sudden. All right.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Yeah.
Why does he care?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know why he cares.
Here's the flip side of it, Joe.
I didn't have this on my bingo card.
Here's the flip side of it for you, Joe, though.
Yeah.
If they're all going to shower, you're going to be standing there waiting anyway.
Well, if the whole group is going to go to dinner clean, then I guess I'll have to. We'll talk about this more.
Do you understand what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if they're all going to do it, you're not saving any time by not doing it.
Because
they're all going to do it. So, you know, my thing is, it's just kind of really silly.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know?
I hear you. Let's dive into a mailbag as well, Paul.
By the way, can I ask you one thing real quick before we go?
Yeah.
Because this is like a protocol thing.
Yeah.
So in between the segment there, I had to run back out to my car to grab something.
Right.
As I'm walking, there was a car that had its gas tank open.
Mm-hmm.
I actually contemplated, should I close this for this person? Then I decided I shouldn't, because I shouldn't touch somebody else's property. What is the protocol there? Would you have closed the gas tank?
No, okay. No. Good. Can't touch a car.
I didn't.
Yeah,
I didn't. I let it
choice.
Go. But my thing
good
was,
choice.
You know, who knows what happens here. If they might not even know it's open. But I feel like I'm not going to touch it, because then people go, well, he touched your car.
Right. That could lead to a violent situation even. They'll be fine. They'll discover it sooner or later. And it's not a danger, I don't think.
Right.
Thank you, Paul. City Limits, did I do the weather yet?
Yes.
All right.